name is David Forrest, podcaster, traveller, and scholarly intellectual. There's nothing myself and fellow academic Stephen Smurf Murphy love than sitting in bin sheds in the West End looking for apparent traces of football history. That's why,
on this special Travel Jags edition of Draw, Lose or Draw,
we'll be looking at Thistle's history in the Partick area, including going to all five grounds, as well as some bonus locations of particular interest. So, pack your bags and join us on Travel Jags 2, Raiders of the Lost Parks. Our expedition begins at 12:30 local time outside Kelvin Grove Art Gallery, as I await the arrival of Smith.
I'm standing outside the Kelvin Grove Art Museum at the moment, waiting on Smurf for our expedition round Partick to go find all of the old grounds. Sadly, it's been raining this morning, so there's no skaters kicking about doing kickflips and ollies, but Kelvin Grove Art Gallery is just a fantastic place to be anyway. I'm kind of tempted to sack off the trip and go into the art gallery, but I can see Smurf just getting off the bus, so we'll report back when we get to our first stop.
The first stop of our adventure saw us go to Kelvin Grove Park. While Kelvin Grove Park may not have been one of our five home grounds, it did still play host to a notable game in Thistle's history.
We're now in Kelvin Grove Park. Now, a lot of people used to think that Thistle used to play at Kelvin Grove Park, but they never actually did. There's pictures of Thistle playing with all the uni buildings in the background, so you can... Yeah, a lot of people thought it was Kelvin Grove Park. We'll get to that in a moment. But Thistle did actually play at Kelvin Grove Park. There was a tournament for the International Exhibition of Science, Art and Industry held at Glasgow Uni in Kelvin Grove Park in 1888. It was actually the first time we ever played Celtic was at Kelvin Grove Park. We lost 1-0. Yeah, it was a big tournament. We beat Airdrie and Kilburnie and then lost to Celtic in the first ever game against them at Kelvin Grove Park. So the grounds, Kelvin Grove Park used to be, well, it used to be that, like, all football in Partick and around was played in public parks, so this was all just fields. So there'd be games all over the place. So like, the tournament was at 16 teams and they all played in Kelvin Grove Park at the same time and stuff like that.
Power League.
Yeah, it's very much a Power League. But I mean, that was the same for a lot of Glasgow. I mean, if you go down to Kelvin Bridge, if you look at from Kelvin Bridge Station all the way down to sort of Santander Scottish Power buildings, that all used to be football pitches and rugby pitches and cricket and stuff like that. It was all sports. And then obviously industrialisation and the need for more houses meant that they ended up building buildings and stuff like that in there. So yeah, so this all used to be football pitches, rugby pitches, stuff like that. Yeah, our first games were in the parks of Partick. Smurf, your thoughts in Kelvin Grove Park?
Alright, yeah.
We'll move on to Over Newton.
We swiftly move on to Thistle's first home ground. Home of Partick Thistle from 1876 to 1880, it's Over Newton Park.
So we are now at Over Newton. This was our first ever ground. You can find this in Over Newton Street, crossing the Eyley Inn. So it's only a couple of minutes walk from Kelvin Grove. So, Smurf, your thoughts on Over Newton?
I can envisage a football pitch here better than I can at Kelvin Grove. Sizeable. Quite nice. Got a big salt tyre kind of thing through the middle now.
Yeah, sadly the walkways kind of take out any chance of being able to play football.
You couldn't play a game here.
No. I mean, there's a bunch of trees in the grass, but you can navigate around the trees, I suppose. Yeah. But I think the concrete makes
drills, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so we moved here. Our first ever game was here on the 19th of February, 1876. We faced Valencia over Newton Park. I think it was a team of shipbuilders because they were building the SS Valencia in Whiteinch. So I think it was a team of shipbuilders. There was quite a few, actually, teams named after ships that we were building. Partick Thistle versus Valencia, the Daily Mail reported on it. Played on the ground of the former, resulted in their favour by 1-0. consummate reporting there. But yeah, we were saying earlier about the public parks, about people playing the parks. So we didn't own this ground. We shared it with a bunch of other teams, such as Partick Elm, Partick Violet, the Partick Ramblers. Just think, if history had been a little bit different, we could all be Partick Ramblers boing boing. But we won our first ever cup here, the West of Scotland Cup. Well, we won at Hampden, but when we lived over Newton in 1879, we beat Marchton in the final. You'll never sing that. But they used to use us for cricket as well, quite a lot of them. It was cricket in the summer, football in the winter. We moved in 1880 from here. Continued to use other teams, but it became neglected by 1889 with the Exhibition Cup that we mentioned earlier. All the resources have been punted over to Kelvin Grove, and they're like, this is... Describe the surroundings. What's here now?
There's a kids' play park.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of...
I believe
bungalow looking thing.
It's a recreation centre. I think it's like a gym sort of thing.
Okay.
There used to be a giant Celtic graffiti on the side, which I was always very annoyed when I came by, because you know
removed.
Exactly. How would you like it if I turned up at Parkhead and sprayed Partick Thistle on like your first stand? Yeah, it'd be great. But you know, if you can't take it, you can't give it.
It's nice. I'd never been here before.
Yeah, so it's the...
I've had no reason to.
No, well, exactly. But it's like the York Hill, I think it's like sort of recreation trust. But there is a group of people, and they tend to the garden here, and they do lots of cool things in here. And yeah, you've got your bird feeders and stuff like that as well. If you want to come here, postcode is G38RW.
Before the next leg of our journey, we stopped off at Partick Station and went to Cafe Avanti for a bite to eat. While we were at the station, we chatted about other places rumoured to have hosted Thistle games.
Yeah, so where the old pitches were, or the old stadiums, I used to think there's a building though that went on fire a couple of years ago and then, yeah, turned into student accommodation. But it was right on the river, so I thought that's where it used to be instead of the Glasgow Harbour. But there was always a rumour, and I must have read it on Pye and Bovril or something when I was like 17 years old. But there was the Morrisons in Partick. Apparently that's where one of the pitches used to be. And the goalpost of where the first goal was, it was at the meat counter. But I don't know, I don't actually know how true that is. But I like to believe it's true, although given our walk today,
yeah,
and we didn't go past the meat counter in Morrisons, I've got a feeling that maybe it was a mistake.
If you had to choose an aisle in Morrisons to score the first goal, where are you going?
Yeah, I'd go to Lidl. Middle aisle, Lidl.
Get a leave and a bottle of vodka,
yeah,
and
no,
the first ever goal.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a bakery man myself. I'll fire one and just nestled in between the croissants and the baguettes, and yeah.
Pastel
donata. Exactly.
In 1880, Thistle moved to the next stop on our tour, Jordan Vale. Now on the site of St Paul's Church in White Inch, Jordan Vale was a fortress to be reckoned with.
So we have now made it to Jordan Vale. So this was Thistle's second ever ground. We moved from Over Newton because I mentioned before about how Over Newton it was a public park and other teams used it. But we wanted to be part of the SFA, so we needed to get our own grounds that we owned. So we came here to Jordan Vale. Now, we are sitting next to St Paul's Church. We believe that is where the ground was. I believe you have a bit of form in this place. You've played here, have you?
Yeah, no, yeah, I've played here back in my younger days, my youth career. My pal lived in one of these flats, and there's a little back garden place, so we used to have a wee kick about there.
I bet you the pitch wasn't as bad as Thistle's.
It wasn't
was
as
the
bad
time?
But there was a couple of washing lines in the way.
Yeah, well,
a bin shed as well. I don't think they were there when Thistle played.
No, but interestingly, facilities was one of the things that Thistle had problems with here. We were absolutely brilliant at this stadium. It took 2 years for us to be beat at home here. We only ever lost four times in three seasons here. Vale leaving due to 6-1. Hello, Dave McCluskey. You have blood in your hands. But we were really good. And, like, you know, Partick was a tiny wee village, like in the sort of 1800s. It went from... It was only about 2,000 people here in the early 1800s, and now there was nearly 30,000 people there in the space of 50 years. So, like, it's, you know, 15 times the size. And because they were so good, we were pulling in the punters at Jordan Vale, and we were it was causing havoc because we didn't have the facilities for it. I mean, the dressing room was across the road. We didn't even have a dressing room in the ground. In 1881, we played in the Scottish Cup, and this place caused us no end of issues. We played Pilgrims, right? The team Pilgrims, and beat them 3-1, and then they protested because there wasn't ropes. So they hadn't roped the ground off properly, fans could encroach onto the pitch. They protested it, and then got beat 7-1, so get it up them. Then we played Peters Hill, and Peters Hill also protested it, saying that the enclosure... the rope thing, but they said the enclosure was not properly kept and some horses broke in and stopped the game for some time, so horses were getting in the pitch and everything. I know. We don't get out of Firhill much anymore. Then when they won the replay, they played Glasgow Thistle, who tried the same trick again. They tried to get it cancelled off because of the encroaching. This time the SFA had given up and they're like, shut up, go away. Partick Thistle have won. But yeah, so it's on, the site is now occupied by St Paul's Church. It's on the junction of what is now Edsel Street, used to be Hill Street when we played there, and Dumbarton Road. Yeah, we were absolutely brilliant here, but just the facilities, we outgrew it quite quickly. So
I don't really know, it's just a car park and bin sheds, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much it is. It's a car park and bin sheds. I'm not going to lie, it's not the most glamorous of tours, no, but you know.
It's not my favourite so far, even though the memories come back. Come flooding back a wee bit.
Exactly, you were here in 1881.
They come dripping back. Aye. Flooding,
well, I mean, if nondescript buildings have nothing to do with football or your thing, then you are in for a treat on this tour. Yeah.
Nowadays, the only time we would ever see apes at Firhill are when we draw Rangers in the Scottish Cup. But between the years of 1883 and 1885, Thistle fans had to deal with a different kind of primate at our third ground, Muir Park.
So we're now in Gardiner Street, which in Partick, Thistle's ground Muir Park was situated. This was actually our third ground. We are standing outside the Tea Garden Coffee House, which is shut now. And this was, so Muir Park was on a private estate, and it overlooked a zoo.
A zoo?
Called the Monkey House. And it was part of like a public sort of recreation ground called the Tea Gardens. And then we are standing outside the Tea Garden Coffee House. In 1908, the Daily Record reported that on Cup Day, the football ground accommodated a human menagerie that dwarfed for noise the animal collection further along. More rowdy than the monkeys in the Monkey House, so there you go. We came here because we'd had problems with our old ground. We'd always, we obviously mentioned the issues we'd had on the last stop on the tour. But we decided that what we're going to do is that we're going to make the best facilities in Scotland. And we had an itinerary of glamour friendlies where we brought all the best teams in Scotland to the ground to show off how good it was. So like Queen's Park and everything and all that turned up. But much like the previous grounds, the facilities were good, but the pitch was a nightmare. Basically, they rented the pitch, they didn't own it, because obviously the man with the zoo was letting us go there. It collected all the water from all the hilly bits into the ground, so it was an absolute bog.
As you can see.
Yes, exactly.
Famous for its big hill.
Exactly, yeah. If you're on Gardiner Street, it's a big, big hill. So you can see that it all just collected there. So we played QP in the Scottish Cup here. And we made a big thing about QP coming here. We're going to show how good it is. And the place was an absolute bog, right? To the point where QP asked it to be postponed. But, I mean, QP at the time were one of the best teams in the world. It was like Real Madrid turning up in your gaff. So they were like, no, lots of people are turning up, big gate, we're playing the game, and there was no silky football. 4-0 to QP, wading around in the mud, scuba masks at the ready, it was an absolute nightmare.
Proper football.
Proper football, exactly. So no matter what they're doing, it was not as embarrassing as the laughing stock of the pitch. So we were put out of our misery because we were struggling with the pitch. Because Muir Park was sold on to a property developer by the name of Ino Gardner, Now we are on Gardiner Street, so presumably... Well, it was Gairdner. He was called Gairdner, but they've changed it to Gardiner Street, presumably.
Tea garden.
Exactly, yeah. We a double meaning there. And he sold it on to make flats that you can see now. So all these flats where this was. It was next to the bowling club, which we'll go around to in a moment, but that's still there. And then we'll go to our next stop and talk about that for a wee bit, at Hamilton Crescent. But it was famous that there were reports that after they moved, Partick Thistle fans used to sing, "I know Gairdner wets the bed," because he was the one who sold the ground away. And so we used to, one of the first sort of snidey cinch chants. But yeah, so what are your thoughts on Gardiner Street?
I want to know more about the zoo, to be completely honest.
I know.
I'm big into zoos.
But yeah, no, absolutely, bring the zoo back.
Bring back the zoo.
Imagine we had a zoo at Firhill.
Blair Alston, main attraction.
We then take a detour across the road to Hamilton Crescent, home of West of Scotland Cricket Club and formerly West of Scotland Rugby Club, who donated the red and yellow that we wear today. The site is regarded as one of the most important places, if not the most important place in international football.
So we've taken a wee detour to Hamilton Crescent, home of West of Scotland Cricket Club. This is famous for hosting the first ever international football match between Scotland and England on St Andrew's Day 1872. What was the score, Smith?
0-0.
It was indeed 0-0. Still people that think that we beat England. We didn't, although we should have.
We did off the pitch.
Exactly, we did off the pitch, yeah. There wasn't a team that played here for football. We never played here. It is home of West of Scotland Cricket Club. The rugby club also used to play here. Well, rugby club also obviously play out in Mulgay now. It's all been done up at the moment because they found it over COVID. It was all rotting inside. So they get Craig Gordon and Harry Kane to come down. You might have seen the press photos before the game. And they had a big day. And as they were doing it, the dressing room floor collapsed, like, through the ground. So they're redoing that all up, and they've got electricians and stuff to do and all that in there. I would highly recommend coming for a game at West of Scotland Cricket Club, for a cricket game. Yeah, it's you just sit in the sun and have some cans and sit in the pavilion. It's absolutely fantastic.
I come down on my lunch break on a sunny day sometimes.
Exactly, yeah. The sun is out at the moment. There's a nice wee chill, but you're
not quite taps aft weather.
Not quite taps aft, but you know the sun is there. We're looking at the Partick Borough Halls, I believe is where Thistle were founded. We don't have definitive proof, however I believe that it's probably going to have been the Borough Halls that had played some sort of institution in it. But cricket is really important for Thistle, because when we started, do you know that we were previously a cricket club? We were previously Partick Thistle Cricket Club.
I didn't know that.
Before we were the football team, because what they do is they play cricket in the summer and then they play football in the winter. So when they couldn't play cricket, they were like, want something else to do, so they'll play football. And that's, we believe, how we were formed. I've spoken to some people who are big in sort of preservation of West of Scotland Cricket Club, who are big into Glasgow cricket. Do you know there was 1,900 cricket teams in Glasgow?
Wow.
I read about the sort of mid-1800s. Like, 19. Can you imagine how big that is and what an organisational task that is? But you think of all the football clubs that are in Glasgow at the moment and think that there was more cricket clubs than them in the 1800s. Queen's Park obviously started the game in the Scottish Cup. Every other team in the Scottish Cup was a cricket team. They wanted to play football. And it's, without cricket, football doesn't take off in Glasgow. And yeah, you know, Celtic were a cricket club as well as a football club when they started. And so were we. And yeah, it's just, it's a great place to come and just sit and bask in the history of it all. I'm loving the scoreboard up there.
The scoreboard puts our scoreboard to shame.
It is. It's like an actual, like, sort of block, like sort of like a small tenement. But I don't know if you've ever been round the back, but it's like sort of, you get controls and you've got ladders to go up and stuff like that. We'll have to go have a wee wander in there. Yeah, west of Scotland, a huge place for Scottish football and cricket in general, just for Thistle, has got a part that we didn't really realise until quite recently.
While we were at Hamilton Crescent, we found a football and were able to have a kick about. But when Thistle played in the area, there was no shortage of footballs in these streets, as the next street down, Norval Street, was home to the Tomlinson Leatherworks, world renowned as the masters of ballsmanship.
We've found a ball here at Hamilton Crescent. Smurf's currently kicking it about. But interestingly, for having a ball here at Hamilton Crescent, it has been good having a wee kick about. I've been enjoying it. But the next street down used to be home to the Tomlinson factory. And Tomlinson was like a leather sort of works. And he used to make the Tomlinson T-ball, which was the most famous football in football at the time, because it had a T design. The way it was designed, it had a leather T on it. There was a good anecdote of an FA Cup final once, and the man hit it so hard that it burst in there. And yeah, exactly. And this was a done thing of he became a big name because no one could burst the Tomlinson T-ball. It was so big and he hit it so hard. But yeah, but the Tomlinson T-ball was a huge, huge, huge thing for football. Basically any game from the sort of early 1900s, it's probably going to be the Tomlinson T-ball that they're using until they brought in the hexagon one. So, you know, the black and white ones that go around. Like this classic here. I mean, this is not anywhere near a Tomlinson T-ball. I think if you got an original Tomlinson T-ball and started playing with it, it would still play better than this.
No, this is
so
better.
It's lost all its markings. It's all soggy and, yeah. But you know what? It's good to get a kick about at Hamilton Crescent. But, yeah, three streets with Muir Park, Hamilton Crescent, and the Tomlinson factory. Hey, oh, just been nutmegged. Right, let's go, let's move.
Next up, we headed to the Clyde Tunnel to Inchview, our fourth ground between 1885 and 1897, and the former home of local rivals Partick FC.
We have now reached Inchview. So this is Thistle's fourth ground. Now this is important because this was the former ground of Partick FC. Partick FC were a very notable club in Scottish football. They were the big guys in town for so long and were basically the team in Partick for ages.
Two teams in Glasgow.
Two teams in Glasgow, yep. Partick and Thistle, yeah. They'd been dominant for like the early years of the Thistle derby because, as we said, you know, we're talking a bit like Partick Ramblers and Partick Elm over Newton. Like, Partick were the sort of organised side when everybody else was, you know, just playing about in the parks. They had actually played here at Inchview, but their last ever game was at Muir Park, where we've just been, against Thistle. Thistle beat them 4-1 and the last ever Partick derby, and they won it. Partick had been a big influential side because they had basically changed the face of English football, because what happened is that Partick played some friendlies against teams from Lancashire, so like Blackburn Rovers and Darwin, and this was at the sort of time, like we mentioned, about Hamilton Crescent and the Scotland-England game, and Scotland really being the better side, better than England at, with the passing game and stuff like that. And Partick absolutely battered at Darwin and Blackburn, and the Lancashire teams realised, hold on, these guys know what they're talking about. So they ended up paying some of their players to come down and play for them. So Jimmy Love and Fergie Souter were recognised as the first two professional footballers ever, because before it was strictly amateur. And this started a trend of Scottish players going down to England and to Lancashire specifically.
There was a good BBC documentary about that.
Yeah?
I think it came out about 2 years ago or something. Can't remember what it's called, so that doesn't help you. it was about that. Fergie Souter was like the main character in it.
Yeah, so he had played for Partick, yeah. And when they moved down, and when that started happening, an English team started picking up their players, Partick kind of fell away, and about two weeks after we beat them 4-1, they were dissolved completely.
Right.
So by that point, the English game had moved, so all the northern teams were now the big powerhouses. It used to be the old private school teams down in London, and now the northern sides were the big sides, and they were taking a lot of Scottish players. It happened to us as well. We had a lot of players go as well. There was a lot of chicanery with Partick's sort of demise. There was an AGM about 2 weeks later. They had merged with us. It wasn't officially a merger, but guys from Partick FC had been coming to us over the year, and then suddenly we announced we are going to move to Inchview, to their ground that they have conveniently vacated 2 weeks ago. We are now going to move in and we are going to play there. So yeah, the death of Partick FC brought us to Inchview. So where are we? Where is Inchview?
White Inch, just above the Clyde Tunnel.
Yeah, and we are literally on the Clyde Tunnel. We can look and see the cars down below. We can see the wee van that they use to pick up cars when they get stuck in the Clyde Tunnel, the support vehicle.
We are on the suburb of what I would call Partick.
Yes.
Right on the cusp.
Exactly. And yeah, so again, this is sort of similar to Muir Park. We leased this. We didn't own it. We leased it from the people who owned it. We found that there was a problem. There was no stand for spectators. There was various vantage points that you could go and watch games without paying to get in and stuff like that. So they were struggling. They were getting lots of fans, but they weren't paying to get in. And again, the pitch was an absolute nightmare. We had a better away record in the Inchview era than we did at home. So we were winning games away and losing them at home. Our biggest game here, we get 8,000 here for a game, a 2-1 win over Rangers in 1887. We were actually here for 12 years. This is the longest that we were in Partick, was at this ground. And our last season, we won the second division title to get promoted to the top flight for the first time. And our last ever game here was against Blackburn Rovers. And Blackburn Rovers brought back three Thistle legends that now played for Blackburn. Proudfoot, Wilkie and Campbell. And we won 4-3 with John Proudfoot grabbing one of the Rovers' goals. A proper testimonial vibe of let him get a goal.
Was that a penalty?
It wasn't even a penalty.
Incredible.
But when we left, they built tenements here. And then when they completed the Clyde Tunnel, they made this fantastic building.
Watchtower thing.
Yeah, watchtower. Stands exactly where the ground is.
It's not very interactive.
It's a Clyde Tunnel, isn't it?
It's pretty much just the Clyde Tunnel. I'd like to see how far I could kick a football through the Clyde Tunnel. That'd be fun.
How long do you think it would take you to dribble through the Clyde Tunnel? That's a segment. That's one for the TikTok. Go back and get that ball. I believe there used to be a goal painted on the wall, but I can't seem to find it there. I was hoping that we could have had a penalty there. But yeah, we move on from Inchview. We'll head to our last ground.
With the finish line in sight, we ploughed on to our fifth and final ground in Partick, between 1897 and 1908, Meadowside.
So we are now at our last ground in Partick. We are at the Meadowside Quay Walk. We came here in 1897. The Scottish Port said that the Partick Thistle urged no doubts by the encroachments of the avaricious building fiend have decided to remove to larger fields and pastures more central. This was a custom built ground that we owned. At the time there's reports saying about, obviously we were by the river, we've been having a nice wee gaze at the river and the ducks and the swans. It was the backdrop of the steamboats sailing down the river as you're watching the game, like that, is it Slovakia with the train track?
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's the boats. The rumours abound that there was a ball boy deployed in rowboats to go get balls at the Clyde. Because, I mean, balls are expensive, you can't just keep losing them. Our record attendance here was 16,000. Played Hibs in a first round replay in 1905. We get 16,000 for Celtic in the Glasgow Cup the year after. The pitch, again, as is a running theme with all of these, the pitch was a state. But yeah, so the pitch was described as a free coupe with only grass seeds strewn over it. Multiple players were injured with debris on the pitch.
Not.
And then in 1908, we get punted out. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, the Clyde Navigation Trust, they were the ones who owned this, and they decided that they wanted to expand the neighbouring shipyard, so across the river, they were going to expand onto this site, and they evicted us. Now, various members of the Clyde Navigation Trust were also members of the Board of Rangers, who played down the road. And there's an amazing article in Nutmeg magazine, I think it's issue 3, about the Rangers board members that punted us out of Partick to expand the shipyard. It then became the Meadowside Granary, bread and stuff like that there. And now we have got the Glasgow Harbour projects. This is all the new flats. You know, a crying shame. You just wonder what would have happened if we hadn't been punted out of here. Would we have continued to go on? Could we be the leading force in Glasgow instead of Rangers or Celtic?
Probably not. No.
No. But it is nice to dream, isn't it? Thoughts on Meadowside, the river?
It's all right. I prefer Firhill Basin, I think, in terms of something to look at.
Yeah, you get some good wildlife there. And I think Firhill Basin's got a good walk. But we've got the Meadowside Quay Walk into town.
You don't have the slide.
That is true.
If they bring a slide, they'll first need to bring a hill and then bring a slide.
Meadowside, they could have called it.
Yeah.
Meadowside might have been home to Thistle in the late 1800s, early 1900s, but there was a Thistle cult hero from far more recent times who also called it home.
At Meadowside, at Glasgow Harbour, which Thistle legend, maybe there are a few, but which Thistle legend am I thinking of that used to stay there?
Oh, I don't know.
Gabby Piccolo.
Do you know what that is? That's heritage. Heritage right now.
We're putting plaques up for anybody. It should be Gabby Piccolo.
Gabby Piccolo rented a house in these flats.
Yes, you'll never sing that.
As our time in Partick draws to a close, we end by talking about what we've learned today and the importance of retaining Thistle's history and keeping it alive.
We spent a season on the road, so we played games at Shawfield, we played games at Ibrox, Parkhead, Hampden, and Capello as well,
that's all over the place.
That's for another day, yeah. This is it, we've now left Partick and we've now become a Maryhill club in 1909, so this is where our journey ends today. Any final thoughts about your day?
It's been nice, I've enjoyed it. It's a shame that we don't have any. There's nothing really to commemorate, like any like plaques or anything.
Yeah.
You know, that would be quite cool if there was. Although we can go to the bridge at Partick.
Yeah.
There's the little date on that. But
it is a shame in terms of like football history. Like we are so quick to just scrub it out and just never really acknowledge it. You look at even somewhere like Hamilton, it was only 25-30 years ago, and there's like very, very little of that ground left. Same with like Airdrie,
Queen's Park redeveloping everything at Lesser Hampden as well.
Exactly, the old farmhouse and stuff like that. And it is, you know, you'd think that, you know, a plaque seems like a very obvious thing. I mean, we went to places where you could easily put a plaque, you know, Clyde Tunnel here, stuff like that. Maybe that's something that we should look into.
I'd be disappointed when Firhill becomes student flats and there's nothing there.
No, exactly. But I mean, we'll be at Scotland, so it'll be all right. We'll love it. True. Yeah, but anyway, we'll end our journey here.
Thank you for listening to Travel Jags today. Drawlers or Draw will be back with our usual weekly episode later on in the week. Travel Jags will return in the future as we go to the exotic climes of Arbroath, as well as the Women's Cup final in Tynecastle. Thanks to Paul for Jags, the Thistle Archive, Niall Kennedy's excellent PT earlier site, and Lindsay Hamilton of the Glasgow Football Tours for their help with this project. If you want to find out more about the early grounds, Partick Thistle Early Years is a great resource, but also you can buy the programme from Our Game Against Dunfermline, where I wrote an article discussing the five grounds, including the postcodes, if you want to go visit them yourself. The date of that Dunfermline game was Friday the 23rd of February 2024. And you can buy back copies of that programme and any other programme from this season at Curtis Sport. In the meantime, stay safe and keep on globetrotting.